Open up your books, please. We're reading from A.W. Pink, Profiting from the Word. I'd like to start off by defining joy. Biblical joy is not the same thing as happiness. In modern times, we pretty much interchangeably use these two words, joy, happiness. You say that you are overwhelmed with joy at the birth of a baby, or you were filled with joy when you got a job offer, right? But in the Bible, joy is not referring to mere happiness. They are not the same thing. If you look in a contemporary dictionary, you'll see joy as defined as great happiness. However, a couple centuries back, Mr. Webster knew what joy is, as he defined it as the passion or emotion excited by the acquisition or expectation of good. The passion or emotion excited by the acquisition or expectation of good. Or a second alternative definition he gave was a delight of the mind from the consideration of the present or assured approaching possession of a good. A delight of the mind from the consideration of the present or assured approaching possession of a good. So, on the other hand, we have Webster defining happy as lucky, fortunate, or successful, or enjoying pleasure from the gratification of appetites or desires. So we can see, on the one hand, we have happiness, which has to do with being lucky and successful, satisfying our desires. And on the other hand, we have joy, something more permanent, more lasting. And now I'd like to turn to chapter 9 in Profiting from the Word. And I'd like to go through in the order that Pink explained how the scriptures speak about joy. So firstly, he has an introduction, and he presents to us two extremes that people often have. One extreme is seeking joy in the world. I'll give a couple examples. One of them is TV. A lot of us seek to entertain ourselves and find happiness and joy by sitting down in a chair and watching TV for hours and hours. And those of us who are in my generation can't wait a week to get a new episode, so we just go on Netflix and we watch the same show episode after episode, called binging. But what happens is, it's kind of like we're trying to suck joy from the world, and it's like drinking a fruit smoothie. I had a fruit smoothie once, and I was so excited. It was, you know, it's good for me because it's made out of fruit. And I sat down to drink it, and I got a little bit of the smoothie, and then it was clogged. The fruit clogged the straw. So when we try to suck joy out of the world, it's kind of like that. For a little while, we get a brief satisfaction, and then the source clogs up. The other extreme that Pink gives us is stoicism or gloom. And that is because of the reality that's around us. Some people think that the world is full of sin and death. I sin every day. I'm a breath away from the grave at any moment. How dare I be happy when surrounded by wickedness? And that's a reality. There are people who do not want to be happy because they think it's a presumption on God. So the first point that Pink has is the duty of joy. Pink says that we profit from the word when we perceive that joy is a duty. I have 2 points. Firstly, that joy is a command of God. In Philippians chapter 4, we have the apostle telling us to rejoice in the Lord always. And in the 66th Psalm, we have the psalmist saying, shout for joy to God, all the earth. So we are all part of the earth. Therefore, the command for us is to shout for joy to God. Pink reminds us that it is not a fanatical joy. So if you go to a so-called Pentecostal church, you may see rolling around on the floor, hysterical laughter, barking like dogs. That's not the kind of joy that we are called to have in the scriptures. It's not a fanatical joy. Pink's second point was about the secret of joy. He says, we profit from the word when we learn the secret of true joy. He says, the first thing is that it is indeed a secret. It's not something that the world has, all right? Because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, the apostle says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So those of you who may be thinking that it's not okay to be happy all the time, there's no law forbidding you to have joy. Secondly, we need to have stoicism to the world, as Pink puts it. And he basically says that we shouldn't get excited when the world praises us. We just take it or leave it. Yesterday, I was out preaching at Planned Parenthood, and there were a bunch of Roman Catholics. And as they left, they commended me on my preaching. And I turned to Joe, who was right next to me, and I said, am I doing something wrong? Why are papists congratulating me on my preaching? Because they said, everything that you said was great. It was right. It was wonderful. So we shouldn't be too excited when the world praises us. That brings me to my third point. It's the Word that brings joy. It's the Word of God. Not the world, but the Word. And we read in Jeremiah chapter 15, in verse 16, he says, your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. So we should look to the scriptures for the foundation for our joy. We should not be seeking joy in fleshly things, worldly things, evil things. We should be looking to the scripture as the basis for our joy. Next, Pink tells us about the value of joy. He says, we profit from the word when we are taught the great value of joy. One of the things that he mentions is that joy brings strength. In Nehemiah 8, verse 10, it says, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. We are strengthened by the joy that God gives us. Secondly, lamentation is unfitting for the fight, Pink says. In the 33rd Psalm, it says, shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. It is unfitting for us to go around in this race. That's what our Christian life is. It's a race. And to be gloomy. to lack joy. It's not right. It doesn't match our calling. It doesn't match the duty that God has given us. One of the reasons why that is the third point. Joy fuels worship. The fifth psalm says, "But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy, and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you." And so we see that when we are joyful, we are led to give honor and worship to God. And fourthly, Pink says that sorrow is made bearable. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside also every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." So we see, as an example, we can look to Jesus, and we can see that it was for joy that he was able to endure the cross, that he was able to endure such misery, agony, pain, grief, all because he was looking for the joy that was set before him. Nextly, Pink speaks about the root of joy. He says, "We profit from the word when we attend to the root of joy." By attend, he means maintain. Firstly, faith is the root of joy. We see in Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, it says, "As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away." So you have this typical person who receives the gospel, receives it with joy, but he lacks the root of the joy. And so his joy is not lasting, and therefore he falls away when persecution arises. He doesn't maintain his joy, and so he doesn't maintain his profession of faith through the trials and tribulations, all because he does not have the root of joy, which is faith. Secondly, promises bring joy only if we receive them by faith. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." So we see that God gives us joy, and we see that it's joy and peace in believing. We can't have true joy apart from faith. The past couple weeks, we've been talking about the scriptures and promises. All right, those promises do us no good if we don't believe them. So we need to believe those promises, and that will bring us joy. Thirdly, true joy comes from God. Isaiah 9 says, "You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil." God is the ultimate source of joy, and that is why it is folly to be seeking happiness and joy in the world. The world cannot provide us true, lasting joy. Only God. Next, A.W. Pink speaks about the maintenance of joy. He says, "We profit from the word when we are careful to maintain our joy. We have the command to rejoice in the Lord always. And this is true especially when we are going through tough times. We're going through hard times. That is when we need joy the most. That's when we need to strive to have joy the most. When things are going well with us, we naturally are happy. We don't think that we need joy. It's when the natural sources run out. Some people are jokesters. They're always taking things with levity. But eventually, life's burdens catch up to you. You sin. People die. Things happen, and you can't turn it into a joke. And so we must rejoice in the Lord always. And thirdly, Pink says, he says that we need what Paul and Silas had. So if you look in the book of Acts, you have a record of Paul and Silas thrown in prison. And what were they doing? They were found in prison singing in the middle of the night. They hadn't given up. They hadn't fallen asleep, lost all hope. No, they had joy, and they were found singing in prison. The next point that Pink gives us is regarding the hindrance of joy. Firstly, I'd like to define sedulous. He uses the word sedulous, which means diligent so as to accomplish with careful perseverance. Sedulous means diligent so as to accomplish with careful perseverance. Pink says, we profit from the word when we are sedulous in avoiding the hindrances to joy. Some of the things that hinder joy are indulging the flesh, fraternizing with the world, and unrealistic expectations. So when we are indulging the flesh, we are sinning against God, and we are not focused on the Scriptures. We are not focused on our faith. We are not focused on maintaining our joy. And so our joy is hindered. When we are fraternizing with the world, when we are buddying up with worldly ideas, that's not going to bring us joy. The first psalm says, blessed is he that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, that stands not in the way of sinners, that sits not in the seat of the scornful. And thirdly, unrealistic expectations. So I'd say about half the churches in the United States preach that when you become a Christian, everything's supposed to be happy and you're supposed to become rich and you're supposed to be well off and you're not supposed to get sick and things like that. But in reality, we have in Acts chapter 5, verse 40 and 41, it says what happened to the apostles. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Christ. So if we have some unrealistic expectation that, okay, I've trusted Christ, I am trusting Christ, now where's my prosperity? Where's my health and wealth? Where are all the worldly benefits that I'm supposed to receive? That's an unrealistic expectation. We have the promise that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And that is what happened to the apostles. They suffered persecution, and as a result of that persecution, they rejoiced. They did not complain about the unrighteous leaders treating them unfairly. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Christ. And Pink's last point is that of rationing out our joy. So he says, we profit from the word when we diligently preserve the balance between sorrow and joy. So we have, on the one hand, sorrow, that there is godly sorrow that leads to repentance. And on the other hand, we have command to be joyful. Peter says that though for a little while you are grieved by various trials, it will eventually become joy. And this grief comes from sin. We should be grieved by our sin. When we contemplate our life and our actions and our deeds and our thoughts, sin should bring us grief for a period of time. And when we look out around us at the world and we see billions of people dangling over the pit of hell, held only by the hand of God, unrighteous, unwilling to come to Christ, though many of them have heard the gospel, when they rebel willfully against God, that should bring us grief. It would be inhuman to not grieve over relatives of ours who are unsaved. And so Pink says that we should balance, all right? And that's biblical. The Bible says that we would have sorrow all the while rejoicing. All right, now that we've gone through Pink's chapter, I'd like to apply this to our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, though you have seen him not, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So, what are some things that we can do to be joyful? I'll give you five things. Prayer, obedience, singing, scripture, and fellowship. Prayer, obedience, singing, scripture, and fellowship are five ways that we can maintain, increase, find joy in this life. They're all based upon what the Holy Scripture says. Firstly, pray to God. God is the one who gives us joy. And if we desire for joy, we should ask God for joy, since He is the one who gives us. If you'd like it clear, just read John chapter 16, where Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Now, is this speaking of joy? Yes, let's continue. Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So, firstly, pray to God for joy. Secondly, obedience. Obedience to God brings joy. In John chapter 15, we have recorded for us the words of Jesus saying, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. He spoke these things so that his joy may be in us, and that our joy may be full. What was it that he spoke? If you keep his commandments, you will abide in his love, just as he has kept his Father's commandments and abide in his love. And so we see obedience to God brings joy. Thirdly, sing to the Lord. Isaiah 12:6 says, "Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." Shout and sing for joy. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 10 says, "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." They came with singing, and they found gladness and joy. And thirdly, the 27th Psalm says, "And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord." So we have prayer, obedience, singing, and fourthly is the scriptures, which are the foundation for everything that we are to know about joy. In 1 John 1:4, John says that he wrote the epistle for the purpose of joy. He says, "And we are writing these things so that your joy may be complete." He wrote the epistle, the scripture. The scripture is given for our joy. And the 119th Psalm, in verse 111, the psalmist says, "Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart." It's the word of God that is the joy of the psalmist's heart. And we should pray that it would be the joy of our heart too. And lastly, we have fellowship with God's saints. We should fellowship with God's saints. This is because in the 12th chapter of the epistle to the Romans, Paul says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep." If we are not in fellowship with other saints, how are we to rejoice when they are rejoicing? And 2 Timothy 1:4 says, "As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy." It was Paul's anticipation of his visit to see them that he said that he is going to be filled with joy upon meeting them. Upon greeting them, he will be filled with joy, because that means fellowship. He's going to have a time of fellowship with saints, and that brings him joy. And so, in conclusion, I'd like to remind us, God knows of our fallen estate. He chose to intervene. The perfect Jesus Christ offered up his life so that others could be spared. Almighty God commands you to repent of your sin and commands you to trust Christ. The offer of eternal salvation stands yet. Jesus calls for all who are heavy laden with sin to come. Why would we not have joy? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us the scriptures which instruct us as to who Christ is, what he has done, who we are, what we are to do. We know that we are to repent and trust Christ. We are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so that we shall be saved. We thank you for giving us joy in our hearts. We thank you for giving us means of grace to maintain our joy. We thank you for giving us a reason to be joyful. We ask that you would help us to be joyful, to share our joy with others, to encourage one another, to lift each other up. Help us to bear one another's burdens. Help us to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. May we sing your praises both in this life and in that which is to come. We pray in the name of Christ.